More of Life Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. The death of Car Talk's Tom Malyatsi this week from complications of Alzheimer's has many of us thinking about our parents, our grandparents, even ourselves. The fear of losing one's mind is profound, and while it's tragic for the person with the disease, it's also deeply disturbing for the family members who have to provide care while watching the loved one they knew fade away.
Like many middle-aged people, Wisconsin writer Judith Harway found herself as her mother's caretaker as she suffered and eventually succumbed to the disease.
Her new memoir, Sundown, describes that period of her life as she tried to honor her parents while maintaining her own life, which included a husband, children, and a full-time job. Judith Harway joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bonnie.
Sundown is the book that you wrote. It's a memoir about your mother and your caretaking responsibilities at the end of her life. This is very, very personal, and it marks a really incredibly difficult time in your life. What was it about writing a book that helped?
It wasn't like I intended to write this book. My mother passed away in December of 2010 after nearly 10 years with Alzheimer's. She was an extraordinary woman, and we had a very intense relationship. So there was a whole mother-daughter story that unfolded there, too, where our roles flipped and suddenly I was the mother. And Alzheimer's is such a cruel disease. And I think that because I am a writer, I process things through language. And I thought that I wanted to write a series of poems about memory and identity and what memory loss means to the loss of identity at the end of life. And instead, I found myself writing this memoir, which, as it took shape, I began to realize that no story exists in a vacuum and that what had happened with my mother and the experiences that my family had been through really mirrored the experiences of many, many other families. We live in a country where there's close to 6 million people with Alzheimer's right now. And part of what had made my mother's death so difficult was the sort of realization that there's not many safe places for people with Alzheimer's in the healthcare system and in the society we live in. So it started out being something to write to reconcile myself to the loss. And it became something where I realized maybe by telling a story that other families were living, I could open up a conversation or contribute to a conversation that would be helpful.
It is one of the things that's so difficult because none of us want to die. None of us want to admit that we're going to get old. None
Absolutely.
Of us want to think that we might be Alzheimer's patients ourselves at the end of our lives. You quote someone in the book, and I'm sorry, I'm going to forget her name, but she says, we all have this idea that we're going to be playing tennis and then we're going to drop dead. And that's it.
That's Jane Gross, who's the author of A Bittersweet Season. And it's such a remarkable thing because each of us does have the fantasy that we will be the person who's exempt. And that's another conversation I think we all need to be having. We are members of a very big generation. We are all aging.
You also talk a lot about and express the feelings of being sort of that generation in the middle of having to take care of elderly
Yes.
parents and also taking care of your own children and your own lives.
Yes.
So that's the third arm of that and trying to balance all of that. And I found myself almost hyperventilating at times, reading because it's like I recognize this.
Well, and I think that's another reason to tell the commonplace stories that are universal. I find that in almost any conversation I enter nowadays, if I say Alzheimer's, somebody else in the room immediately comes back with their own family's story. Certainly that role of caregiver as we enter middle age and we still have our children to be concerned about and we suddenly are our parents' caregivers. Many, many people I know are living through that. I guess I just think it's beneficial to sort of speak plainly about what that experience is because it's not easy and so many people around us are living it and needing support, which is one of the reasons why I've been really thrilled also to have the support of the Alzheimer's Association with this book because I hope that it will be a way to offer some support to other families.
If only in recognition.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. The other part of this is your relationship with your dad and his relationship with your mother and the fact that – and I think anyone who's in a caregiving situation where both parents are living but only one is affected, you're dealing with the personality of that parent as well and what they want and what
right.
they expect, which may be very different from what you want and know needs to happen.
Well, that's true. And you're also dealing with their own aging and fear and denial.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of the process. I've been so lucky because both of my parents did have very long lives, and they had wonderful lives. But as you note, the end of a long life is often something that a person doesn't deserve.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't usually have any say over that.
Yes.
And I think it's that lack of control that you capture so well. It's just that frustration of, if I could wave that magic wand, this is how things would be.
Absolutely. I wish I had that magic wand.
Yeah. You want it for yourself, but you also want it for the people that you love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's one of the things that is an issue with caregiving, is that there is a great sense of inadequacy that comes along with it. And there's actually a passage in the book where I talk about that, where it's like you feel like you're making decisions with, you know, completely inadequate information. You're sleep deprived. You know, you're anxious. You're afraid. You don't know how to choose what to do. And in some cases, there's no choices to be made. And yet you have to keep proceeding. And where I let that resolve was that there's a certain sort of reconciliation and forgiveness that sneak in. And I found, you know, the harder it became to be in that caregiving role, the more frequently I heard myself saying to my parents, I love you, you know, because I wanted that to be the mantra for both of us.
That ultimately that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And I think, and you get to this too, we're all imperfect. You're never going to make the perfect decision all the time.
No.
And you can't.
And there is no perfect decision when you're dealing with Alzheimer's.
Right. It's moment by moment.
Absolutely.
Now that the book is out and you're preparing for the launch and you're about to take it out into the world, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm excited, but I'm also quite nervous because, as I mentioned to you before, this is far more personal than anything I've ever published before. At the same time, I feel like if I want to reach other people, validate other people's experiences, engage in the larger conversation, I have to take that risk of putting this out into the world, and I have to be brave enough to stand by it.
Have you had any response, either positive or negative, from your family? I'm assuming they've read at least some versions of the book.
Well, my father is no longer alive. At the time I was writing the book, my father was alive, and I was very anxious about that because he was a very private and proud man, and I certainly would never have wanted to hurt him. But I don't think I'm unfair to anyone in the book. And I did, my husband read it throughout the time it was being written, and he was, in fact, one of my most useful critics in helping the book develop. Before it went to publication, I did give the manuscript to both of my children and to my sister and asked for their input. And I said, you know, anything that you find that you're uncomfortable with, I will change. And all of them came back and said that they were completely comfortable with it. So I've had tremendous support, which I think is an interesting place to be as a memoirist, because literature is full of stories of people who wrote complicated or hurtful things about their families and then had to navigate what that was like once it was published. I don't have to face that challenge.
No, nothing that I read was hurtful. I thought it was very honest.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be hurtful inadvertently, but not maliciously.
And, you know, when you talk honestly about human relationships, though, you do get into some complicated areas. Any mother-daughter relationship is going to be complicated. Sometimes at the end of life or suffering from a disease like Alzheimer's, people can no longer be their best selves. And, you know, so I was worried that my sister or my children would think I was portraying my mother unfairly. And yet, in the end, the book is about love. And it is a way, in a way, I sort of see it as a love letter to my mother in the end.
You talk about how, you know, you never forget her. You never don't think about her. You carry her with you.
Absolutely.
And in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in all of her imperfections and perfections.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I tried to keep other people out of the story as much as I could, because I felt like it really was about my own relationship with my mother and my own relationship with her illness and the experiences of the end of her life. But my daughter kept pushing her way into the book in a way, because she was present for so much of it, and she was herself so great at caring for my mother near the end of her life. And having this be a mother-daughter story, it was very interesting to talk about it with my own daughter and acknowledge how complicated those relationships are and how many ways we inadvertently harm the people around us or inadvertently help the people around us. You know, you never really know what the impact of your actions is going to be on the people you love.
Are you concerned that this will be your story and that your daughter will be doing this in X number of years?
I think given my family history, at some point in the future, I think I'm very likely to be an Alzheimer's patient. Both of my mother's parents had dementia. My mother did. Her first cousin, who was closest to her, died of it. It is genetic. It is in families. The way that I've dealt with it is I've actually said to my children already that they need to do whatever is best and keep their own lives going, and I forgive them in advance if I'm going to be angry or, you know, frustrated at the time, because I know what they're going to have to go through if that's going to be my narrative. Of course, it just as easily might not be my narrative. Research is advancing continuously. Our understanding of disease is advancing. And I may not have drawn that wild card, but if I did, there's nothing I can do about it.
Right. Well, I think we can hold up that fantasy that we all hope for, is that we're going to be doing something wonderful and fall asleep.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that's what we all hope for. And maybe some of us are lucky enough for that. But it's certainly what I wish the people I love. You know, you don't
Absolutely.
Want that long lingering. And I think that's the hardest part, is watching that dissolution
right.
of a mind that was once wonderful and vibrant and a life that was very full, and to see that diminution of it and to see just the shrinking mm-hmm. of it.
And it becomes, well, that's terrible and tragic. It also places a responsibility on the caregivers and the surviving family members, because I do want to carry my mother's vibrancy forward in, you know, in my own life and in the stories I tell about her. I do want to preserve her stories. And I do want to continue to see her as a role model as I do those things.
Well, she was a writer as well.
Yes.
So you've already taken on that particular mantle going forward.
Yes. She was not a professional writer, but she was a wonderful storyteller and did write a tremendous amount of memoir material for her grandchildren.
Judith Harway, I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking about it and opening up the conversation a little bit.
Thank you.
Judith Harway is a professor of writing at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design and the author of the new memoir, Sundown, A Daughter's Memoir of Alzheimer's Care. She'll read from the book this Sunday afternoon at 3 at MIAD's Brooks Stevens Gallery.
One last break, and then we'll lighten it up a bit with a pair of Wisconsin authors with new mystery novels under their belts. Lake Effect continues in a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.